Good evening, and thank you everyone for waiting patiently while the Board of Ed was in executive session this evening. So welcome to our August 26, 2020 regular business meeting. Statement is hereby made that adequate notice of this meeting was given by posting written notice prominently on the bulletin board in the office of the Board of Education, the district's website, and sent to the four district schools. The mailing and or hand delivery of said notice to the designated newspapers, Asbury Park Press, Independent, the PLG, PSG, PSA, PTSO, SAB presidents, and the student reps to the board, and filing with the clerk of Homedale Township Police Headquarters and Public Library. Meetings of the board are open to the public, and all members of the community should feel free to participate. There will be two opportunities for the public to speak. The first is at the beginning of the meeting for agenda items only, and the second is at the end for other items. Any individual desiring to speak shall give his or her name, address, and the group, if any, that is represented. The presentation shall be as brief as possible, but no more than 3 minutes per individual. There will be certain matters that may be brought before the board that cannot be immediately addressed in public. Such matters may be referred by the president to a board committee and the superintendent for consideration and or resolution. The board vests in its president or other presiding officer authority to terminate the remarks of any individual if she deems it in the best interest of those present to do so. May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Flynn.
Here.
Mr. Sokol.
Here.
Mr. Reddy.
Here.
Mrs. Biamonte.
Here.
Mrs. Collins.
Here.
Mr. Roll.
Here.
Mr. Foster.
Here.
Mr. Hammer.
Here.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Can you please rise for the flag salute and remain standing after the flag salute for a moment of silence because for one of our beloved staff members who just passed away, Ms. Michelle Saylor. Can you please keep her and her family in your thoughts over the next few days? She has done such great work for our school district. She was dedicated to our schools. So please say a prayer for her tonight and going forward for her and her family. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everyone. Dr. Seitz, I understand we have some new staff members here tonight.
I have the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And they're here to be introduced by their building principal. And then the building principals will give us a brief overview update on their preparedness to open schools and possibly some of the things that have been going on this summer, especially at the complex, where we had obviously the construction going on. Who would like to start? Okay, Bill.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Thanks for having us here this evening. It has been quite a busy summer at the complex, and in particular SAT school, with all the constructions going on. Plus, we had a number of retirees that came at the end of the year, so we did a lot of hiring, and we have a lot of new faces here with us. Some of them were able to join us this evening, some were not. I can tell you, and they're joining us via Zoom, I'm sorry. They're in the audience, in the ether. But I'm going to introduce basically the name and the subject area that they'll be teaching. And we'll get to, I'm looking forward to getting to know them much better at next week's new teacher orientation. So our first person, and I think she's supposed to be here, is Jade Kickey. Jade, come stand up. Say hello. She's going to be teaching. Jade's going to be teaching English for us at SAT School. Thank you, Jade. I believe this person is joining us via Zoom, a new math teacher, Michelle Martino. Jesus, clap for her. We hired two new math teachers this year. The other, I think she here, is Caitlin Parlow. Hey, Caitlin, how you doing? Congratulations. Welcome. Another key member of our team is our new school nurse. Her name is Alyssa Rossino. Resinio, excuse me, and she's actually at work right now, plus she's tuning in via Zoom. She's already had a lot of input in our back-to-school plans, and I think it's going to be a very nice fit. So congratulations to Alyssa. And last, certainly not least, that she couldn't join us this evening, but I wanted to let you know that we are replacing Kathy Howard, longtime employee, with Constantina Sukas. And it comes highly recommended, did a great job in her demo lesson and so forth. And we're really looking forward to having not only Constantina, but all of the new staff members. It's going to be a great time. This is new facilities, new staff members, lots to look forward to at Team SATS. I'll turn it over to we can clap for all of them. Congratulations to all of them. I can turn it over to Dr. Seitz. Would you like me just to say a few words about the school now or later?
I wanted to
do it now. Okay, yes. Very excited about SATS. It's starting to look like a school again, which is great. It was a construction zone for a good part of the summer, but the things are really coming together. We got our lockers delivered this week, and they look great. I took a walk through the link today. I never realized how big that thing was. It's beautiful. The link that goes from the 114 hallway to the main gym. You guys are really going to love that. We're in good shape getting ready for school. We're looking forward to having everybody back on September 14th. And at this time, I guess I'll turn it over to who would like to be next. All right, Mr. Howard, come on up. I'll put the microphone back in the stand for you, though.
Hopefully you can hear me okay through the mics. Come on, we sound a little muffled. I'm the principal at Village School. I'd like to welcome everybody here properly socially distanced as we come to this meeting. Haven't seen a lot of the board members in a while. First time I've been here. Seeing you a lot through Zoom. It's kind of a different feeling being back here in the building. So like Mr. Logren said, we've had a lot of transition at Village, mostly because Ms. Marino stole a lot of my teachers, so I had to try to replace them. One of them who is supposed to be here, Megan Howe. She's going to come to us as a kindergarten TLR. She has a bachelor's degree in early childhood elementary education, graduated from DeSalle University. She's a New Jersey certified pre-K through 6. Most of her student teaching experience has been at George Wolf Elementary School as a kindergarten teacher, and also Fountain Hill Elementary School as a fourth grade teacher. Both of those are in Pennsylvania. So welcome to Megan, to the Village School family. Second, we had Emma McCann, who is probably on Zoom. I don't think she's scheduled to be here. Ms. McCann, she's hired as a third grade special ed teacher. Tenure track. She's a graduate of TCNJ, dual certification in elementary and special ed. She did her student teaching at Village, actually third grade resource room, and also as a first grade general education classroom. And as an added bonus, she also has a BA in Spanish, so she can help me if I'm going to Mexico. So we'd like to welcome Ms. McCann also to the Village School. Third on there is another teacher. She's actually being voted on tonight. So given the approval of the board, we're welcoming Jessica Dolly also to our Village School. She's being hired as a TLR for one of our first grade classes. She's a graduate of Monmouth University School of Education, has a BA in Interdisciplinary Studies. She did her student teaching in Wanamassa Elementary School in Ocean Township, and also Woodrow Wilson Elementary School in Neptune. So we'd like to welcome Jessica to Village as well. In terms of our status for opening in September, fortunately, we haven't had the same kind of construction going on in our village as it has been at the complex. I took a walkthrough today with Tom, our head a custodian, and I just have to say the custodians have been doing a phenomenal job. They're at the building, making sure that the building is up and running, ready to go.
We have some things that are in the hallways that we're trying to move back into the classroom, curricular items. But the building actually has been immaculately done thanks to the people in Buildings and Grounds. Spent a lot of time with Ken, also with Steve Rogers, working on entry, PPE ordering through Mel Gill has been very helpful with that as well. Just making sure we have the fundamental stuff that's needed in order to open up the school safely. So, like I said, we really have a whole bunch of construction like Bill and Brian have to worry about. And the maintenance crew have been doing a really good job. So with that, I'll turn it over, I guess, to Brian, right?
By the way, if you guys are uncomfortable with the microphones with our current pandemic, there's wipes over there if you want to use them. Anyone in the audience, if they use the mics going forward.
You're loaded for me. Come on.
Yeah, let me help you, Brian. There you go.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Wonderful to see everybody, even if it's just half a face that's out there in the audience and here at the board tonight. We have five staff members and then one administrator as well that we'll be introducing tonight over at the high school. I believe joining us via Zoom is Thomas Bocchino. Thomas is our first high school robotics and game design teacher. Thomas, or TJ, comes to us with experience from Marlboro High School and has been instrumental with the programs he will be teaching by writing curriculum for all of those courses through the course of the summer. He'll be teaching intro to robotics, game design, advanced game design, and apps and animation, and we'll also be starting our robotics club this year. So welcome to TJ joining us via Zoom. Caitlin Zuchek, I'm not sure, are you here? She's here, okay. Caitlin is here. Caitlin is joining us as a special education math teacher this year at HHS. She's earned her degrees from Monmouth University in both math and secondary education with a teacher of students with disabilities endorsement. She has also participated in the Teaching Mathematics National Convention to strengthen her craft as a teacher. So welcome again to Caitlin. Joining us via Zoom is Alexis Fox. She is a new hire for one of our English positions. She did her student teaching actually in Homedale years ago and is very excited to be back. She's dual certified English and ESL and has taught both in the States and the Dominican Republic. So welcome to Alexis Fox. Kim Evans, I believe, is with us. Welcome, Kim. Kim will be with us in the social sciences to begin the year at HHS. She comes to us as a recent graduate of Ramapo University, where she received a bachelor's in history. Kim is taught at Ramapo High School and has done some interesting work as a transcriber for the Jane Addams Papers and worked as a guide at Monmouth Museum. So welcome again to Kim. And Kevin Chang is joining us in the physics department this year. Kevin comes highly recommended from the Rutgers University Graduate School of Education, where he just completed the Physical Science Education Master's Program. He has a strong background in both chemistry and physics and has a deep passion for teaching science and creating an investigative science learning environment for his students that we definitely witnessed during our interview together a couple months back. So welcome to Kevin and joining us. And Matt Kukoda, he's actually a veteran now in the district, Mr. Kukoda. He joined us way back July 1st as our supervisor of health and physical education, as well as being our athletic director. Having worked with him for these last 2 months, he's already part of the team at the high school and working with the administrative team and other staff members out there with the kids and the coaches every morning. NJSIAA has definitely kept him busy with some of the changes coming into this this sporting season, and he's been right up on top of everything. So it's been great having Matt on board. So Matt, welcome again. And just in speaking about Holmdel High School, I don't know if it was coincidence, but when I got in the car to drive over to the Indian Hill this evening, Journey came on, Don't Stop Believing. I don't know if that was coincidence, but the high school looks terrific. The construction that's been going on there, just as soon as you pull up into the building and seeing the new entrance as it's coming together is absolutely fantastic. New spaces in the building that myself, Mr. Brown, Mrs. Riggi, walked today with our buildings and grounds department and some of our custodial crew to see that coming together. New locker room spaces. It's really, really coming along. And again, as Art mentioned, we've had a lot of people hands-on to make sure that we're having all of the materials that we need to get everything running, and we're feeling very good about the 2020-21 school year kicking off. So thank you, everybody. I'll pass it on to Ms. Marino.
So they save the best for last, as usual. You know, we know Indian Hill is the best. Okay, nice to see everybody. It's been a while, and so we appreciate you having us here. I do have a lot of staff to introduce this evening. As you know, I had a lot of people retire this summer, so we had a lot of positions to fill, and we had a couple, like Mr. Howard said, transfer over to Indian Hill as well from Village School. So I'm going to start with Elizabeth Fitzsimmons. All of mine, I think, are Zoom this evening, and if I miss anybody, I don't believe anybody's in the audience. We're going to start with Elizabeth Fitzsimmons. She is going to be taking one of our fifth grade math and science positions, one of our retirees. She's a recent graduate from Seton Hall University. She received a bachelor's in elementary and special education with a minor in psychology. In addition to her general and special ed certifications, she anticipates a certification in middle school math by the end of the year. So welcome to Elizabeth Fitzsimmons. We're very excited to have her. Another very important person that is going to be joining Indian Hill, we have a brand new literacy coach this year. Her name is Shalonda Archibald. Shalonda believes that every child has the right to a high quality education instruction. She's taught literacy in grades 5 through 12 for 18 years. Shalonda has been recognized as New Jersey Literacy's Association Teacher of the Year, New Jersey Governor's Educator of the Year, Plainfield Public Schools Educator of the Year, and is Union County Board of Chosen Freeholders Resolution recipient. She currently is a New Jersey Literacy Association board member, as well as an adjunct professor at Kane University, and she's a member of Kane, Plainfield, Scotch Plains, Fanwood Teacher Leader Network. She enjoys conducting professional development in the areas of self-care and equity and literacy instruction. She strives on social emotional learning is another, you know, huge component that we've talked about a lot, and we're very excited to have Shalonda. So welcome, Shalonda, in Indian Hill. Thank you. My next person is actually someone who was with us last year. We're very excited. She was a TLR for me last year. She is now going to be taking a fourth grade math science permanent position. Her name is Rhiannon Decker. She's been teaching for 5 years. She graduated from Rowan University with a degree in elementary ed and is currently pursuing her master's degree in special education. Last year, she taught at Indian Hill. She was one of our fourth grade special ed TLRs, and she was hired this year to teach a fourth grade math and science general education class. We're so grateful to have her back this year, and we're so looking forward to a positive year with her. So please welcome Rhiannon Decker. My next candidate also was someone that we were fortunate enough to have in Holmdel last year, Kevin Vitale. He is a fourth grade special education literacy social studies teacher for us this current coming up school year. But Kevin began teaching in 2012 after graduating from West Virginia University. He taught in the state of Virginia for 4 years as a middle school special ed teacher, and then he returned home to New Jersey to continue his teaching career. He spent time both at Indian Hill and also Holmdel High School last year as a special education teacher and has greatly enjoyed being here. We are so fortunate to have him back and excited to welcome him back to the Indian Hill family to teach fourth grade special education with us. So please welcome Kevin Vitale. I told you I had a lot. Okay, so now I have Nicole Donnelly, who is joining us as well. Miss Catherine Baisley, who was our Spanish teacher, took a transfer over to the high school, and we will miss her dearly, but we're very excited to have Nicole Donnelly. Miss Donnelly comes to Holmdel with 17 years of educational experience. She studied in Spain, and she taught and worked in Mexico for 2 summers. She's an experienced Spanish teacher who has taught at both the elementary and the secondary levels. She's an athletic coach. She's a world traveler. She's active in community events, and she has led several school-wide initiatives related to culture and literature, as well as creating a successful Spanish family night to promote Spanish cultural events. We're very excited to have Nicole join Indian Hill family, so please welcome Nicole Donnelly. Okay, my next person is G1 Zhang. She is going to be joining our sixth grade math team. G1 has been teaching math and science to fifth grade, sixth grade, and eighth graders for over the past 5 years. She's taught students in various settings and environments, including special education, general education, advanced math, and parallel teaching. We're very fortunate to have G1 joining our sixth grade team, and we'd like to welcome her to Indian Hill as well. So thank you. And last but not least, we have another person being Gregory Jasinski, who is actually on the board agenda tonight to be approved. So hopefully that will, pass. He's going to be joining our fifth grade math science team as well. Greg has a bachelor's degree of arts in science and a master of education from Rutgers University. He has 9 years teaching experience, and he specializes in the delivery of differentiated lessons and data analysis. Greg has done many workshops on integrating a math workshop model, and as he has a special subject matter specialization in science grades 5 through 8. We're so excited to have Greg. He is an innovative educator with a lot to offer our students, and so we want to welcome him to our fifth grade team as well. So welcome, Greg. That is all of our new hires. We're very excited to meet and have all of them and get to know them better at new teacher orientation. As far as the building is concerned, we are very fortunate to not have a lot of construction going on here. So our custodial staff, I have to give them so many props for getting it prepared and really looking amazing already. They've been working so hard. The buildings are cleaner than I've ever seen them. So we do have to give the credit where the credit is due. Our secretarial staff, the administrative team, we've all been working very hard all summer to get the buildings prepared, to get the students back in, because that's what's most important. We're very much looking forward to seeing all of those kids come soon, and I want to thank the community for all of the support that they've been offering and their patience and their tolerance for all of the changing times that we're going through right now. So, we're excited to be back and excited to get the kids back in the building. So thank you, and it was nice to see everybody.
Well, first of all, I thank you to the principals and welcome to the new teachers. You are really quite fortunate in that you are getting a job in Holmdel. It's an excellent school district, tremendous parent support and community support, and I think you'll find it's a wonderful place to teach. So welcome, and I'll see all of you next Tuesday, I believe it is, at the new teacher orientation program. Before I turn the program over to Mike to introduce Ken, I do want to just let the board know that in preparation for this school year, we've been meeting as administrative team every Thursday to hash out all the details and processes and to make decisions that have to be made in order to open on September 14th. In addition, a few weeks ago, I started meeting with the principal separately on Tuesday to address the issues that are facing us as we open the school year. So we are working on the instructional end and the curriculum end and the staffing end, but all that would be for naught if it wasn't for the tremendous work that Mike and his staff have done in dealing with the construction, dealing with the numerous steps we have taken to make sure our buildings are not only clean but safe and have the necessary PPEs and sanitizers and so forth to make our building safe. So I'd like to, first of all, congratulate Mike for overseeing that. It's been a tremendous asset during this transition, and he deserves all the credit that we can give him. So I'd like to turn the program over to Mike at this point so he can, with Michael, so he can introduce Ken and talk about some of the things that have been going on in his area of the school district. Michael?
Okay, thank you, Dr. Seitz, and congratulations again to all of our new faculty joining. Certainly excited for everyone to come on board, and look forward to seeing some of you next week as well. As Dr. Seitz said, it's important to mention that, you know, we're very proud of the team effort that we've all exhibited here. You know, as our principals were mentioned before, you know, it's all part of that effort. We can't thank, it starts with certainly the support of the board in moving forward with all the improvements that we are moving forward with as part of that assessment that was done with our architectural firm, Spiesel, and our construction managers and Graybaugh. And certainly, who I'm going to introduce, Ken Stromsland, our Director of Plant Operations and Maintenance, Steve Rogers, our Assistant Director, and the entire team of custodians, maintenance, and grounds department. This is certainly an example of what can be done when everybody comes together, acts as a team with the common goal, and that has been to bring our students back as safely and as quickly as possible. So without any further ado, I do want to hand it off to Mr. Stromsland, who can give a little bit more information about what's been going on and all the efforts that we've taken to ensure that we're open and open safely.
Okay. Thank you and good evening. I just wanted to want to review a number of things, and I need my notes to be able to go through so I don't miss anything. Our professional team, consisting of our architects, engineers, construction managers, and our facilities staff, initiated a readiness plan for school opening, consisting of essential supplies, services, and systems. And I'd like to run through them and give you an update accordingly. Retro commissioning of our district HVAC systems. The retro commissioning has begun. The intent is to review each piece of equipment for current performance, document compliance and or deficiencies, and address each deficiency in real time with our facilities department. The low-hanging fruit in this exercise, we expect to see right away, is evaluating the air filter efficiencies. Do we have the maximum MERV or maximum efficient filters allowable for each unit? And are we maximizing the fresh air component on each unit? So these are very important things. These are things that will be early in the investigation and things we can implement right away. Installing bipolar ionization units in our HVAC systems to continuously clean the ozone-free air in large common areas. All units have been delivered, and our maintenance team has installed over half of them, so the remaining will be installed and operational before school begins. Installing site signage and parking limitations. We have materials and are in the process of working with the principals to determine the best flow of traffic and students. Installing infrared body temperature detectors at entrances. We expect the delivery of these units, which should look like airport door frames you walk through, will be coming this Monday. We have already discussed locations and student flow with the principals. They allow a very quick, expedient reading that will keep everyone moving along very well. In conjunction with the temperature detectors, we are required by the CDC to have isolation rooms. Again, we have coordinated these spaces with the principals. Installing physical barriers such as sneeze guards. We're expecting the final delivery of those items this week. We have coordinated the locations and use with the principals and special education department and nurses. Installing antimicrobial tape coatings on commonly used surfaces such as door handles, push bars, railings, and bathroom fixtures. We have all the materials on hand and we'll have everything installed before school begins. Installing directional decals on floors to indicate directions of travel for students, teachers, and visitors. We have everything in the district and all will be installed before school begins. Installing hand sanitizers in each classroom and key locations. This ended up being a challenge, but we have enough sanitizer and dispensers for all classrooms and all key locations. Adjusting the spacing of classroom furniture for physical distancing. We started with mock-ups in common classrooms and common classroom types throughout the district, reviewed that with principals and key administrators for approval, and we'll have all classrooms ready in time for the beginning of school. Maintaining cleaning procedures. Our district's custodial team will be detail cleaning and disinfecting nightly, plus at every opportunity through the day. What this is exactly is disinfection, which is a two-step process, beginning with the cleaning of an area with an EPA-approved neutral cleaner. The cleaning process reduces the number of germs, dirt, and impurities on surfaces of frequently touched surfaces, such as light switches, desks, door handles, phones, keyboards, toilets, faucets, sinks, or floors. After these areas are cleaned, we then follow up with an EPA-approved disinfectant. Unlike the initial cleaning process, disinfectant can now successfully kill germs on the surface without dirt or grime acting as a barrier. As mentioned previously, we have added support with the Silver Ion antimicrobial tape and UV lighting, disinfecting after hours, and the bipolar ionization filtration. Lastly, our buildings and grounds team will be provided with a refresher training course before classes resume. This course will highlight proper PPE and chemical use along with the cleaning and disinfecting process. Installing urinal partitions in boys' bathrooms. We have the partitions and they will be in place before school begins. Installing automatic paper towel and soap dispensers. We already had many in the district, but have ordered more. If the units are not fully replaced by the time school opens, we have antimicrobial tape on all touch surfaces and maintain disinfected surfaces until these dispensers become available. Providing the necessary and appropriate PPE. Students will be expected to provide their own masks. We have received over 100,000 masks, gloves, and face shields. We have solid sources for any additional supplies we might need. Implementing UVC lighting for disinfecting after hours. We are working with our vendor to expedite this process, bring in the equipment earlier, and bring in the installation ahead of schedule. We have also processed the purchase order. All equipment has been ordered. Township permit requests were submitted and full installation will begin before the end of September. It was anticipated by the vendor that this would start much earlier, but they have found that the consumer reaction to the science was totally unexpected and has become extremely desirable. As you probably know, there are major companies across the U.S. that are using this and using up a lot of the supply of these materials. We are fortunate that we are the second school in New Jersey to have ordered lights, and the first school is only getting their product about a week before us. So we would, and now, in fact, any orders that are placed will not be installed until sometime next year. So that completes the list of our planning readiness as listed by our professionals. Any questions?
Does anyone have any questions for Ken?
I would just like to say thank you very, very much. The safety and security of all the folks, the teachers, the staff, all the support staff, the administration, is without that, you can't run and operate the schools. And so expediting that from Eileen Bremonti, who chairs buildings and grounds, it was a priority back in April. We were talking about September for many, many months. And it was, as you just heard, that we're the second district in the state to order additional equipment that's above and beyond the equipment already ordered. You heard about thermal cameras as well. You've heard some testing throughout the state that it's slow. Those are the districts that are simply not prepared. You're now hearing about thermal cameras that are taking temperatures and taking them rapidly. I think it's 70 temperatures a minute or so. It's just, it's quick, it's fast. And just to thank the board, but just for the folks that work in and about the district, safety and security is job one from the buildings and grounds side. This one of the subcommittees appointed by the board president, and if there's any follow-up, that obviously you're available for that. But from my perspective, I just want to thank you and the board for going above and beyond to make sure that we're ready to open safely and securely for all folks.
Hey, thank you, Terrence. I agree with Terrence's comments, Ken. Thank you to you and your team. It's tremendous. It's a object of pride to be able to share with members of our community of all the work that you've done to make the school as safe as possible for our students and our staff to return. I think it's a model institution because of all of your hard work and your team. So please share the thanks of the board with everyone, because we really do appreciate all the time. Even from the moment that we did go remote in March, your team has still maintained their dedication to our schools and keeping it, you know, ready to go in case for some reason they were allowed to come back before that. So thank you for all their dedication. Anything else?
I do have a few more items. I'm going to take my mask off since we're socially distanced here. And people are texting me that it sounds a little muffled, so hopefully this will help get my words out to the general public. I'd like to begin by just giving you a little update on where we are with the opening. We did a survey of our parents, and they're having about 75 of our students do hybrid instruction, which is quite a bit higher than we were anticipating. And of course, that means 25% will be on the virtual model. Parents can opt out of the hybrid model at any time and go to full virtual. And if someone wants to opt in to the hybrid from virtual, that can be done as well. However, there is a little bit of a waiting time for that to take place, and we'd like that to take place at the end of each marking period. There have been questions about the availability of time for teachers and students at the end of the school day, because on a given day, half the students will be riding their buses home, being transported home by their parents or a neighbor, and obviously the teachers will be available at that point, but they won't. But you have to look at it from the perspective of the hybrid schedule. On those days when the, let's say, the silver team is being transported home, the blue team is at home ready to take advantage of the teacher time that's available after the 4-hour school day. So the students can, on an alternating basis, have the time they need with teachers to either do one-on-one, maybe small group, maybe not at all that day, but there is an availability for the students to have that time with teachers. Someone also asked about snacks. We certainly will be providing snacks. They'll be in a classroom. And they'll generally be staggered in that I would anticipate that some of the students will eat at one point and have their masks off. The other half will have their mask on, and then we'll switch that so the other team can have their snack and the other half will have their masks on in order to prevent a safe environment for our students. If that goes well, we will be looking at the possibility of trying to modify our program and provide lunch and therefore a longer school day. But for right now, we just want to get open with the model as it stands. Another thing that someone raised, which is very interesting and accurate, is that depending on which team you're on, if you are in class on a Monday, and that will continue throughout the year, you have a few more holidays on Mondays. So we are going to monitor that, and if at some point in the school year we see it as a problem, we will make an adjustment so that the Monday team can pick up more in-person time. How we would do that, I don't know. When we would do that, I don't know. But it's something we're aware of and certainly something we're going to be monitoring very closely. We are making a change in the teacher calendar. I hope this is not complicated, but as it now stands, as it stands before we make the change, the students had off on Veterans Day and the teachers were here for a PD day. We're going to take the teacher PD day and move it to September 10th. And then Veterans Day will become a holiday for both the teachers and the students. There will be no one in school on November 11th and Veterans Day, but we do pick up an extra PD day for our teachers before the school year, and we feel that's necessary in order to help them have a little more time to work with their colleagues and get ready to open school on September 14th. Shortly, the principals will be announcing the release of the schedules for the 2021 school year. We're going to have a combination of some virtual tours and some in-person tours depending on the school and the grade level. And the principals will also be announcing their back-to-school nights, which will more than likely be virtual. And last and not least, with regard to this summer, we are planning a dedication ceremony for the complex to recognize the tremendous job that's been done and the recognize the support of the community in passing a referendum to make this all possible. Now, I know the board and the public are interested and concerned and have questions about our programming. Tonight we hit the facilities and how we're preparing to open. In September, I anticipate having a meeting presentation with our curriculum people, which are supervisors and our administrators, building administrators, to really talk about the programs we're offering, what the hybrid looks like, what the virtual looks like, possibly what we learned in the first few weeks, certainly what we learned from last spring, and to point out to the board and the community the differences in this year's program and why we think it'll be stronger than it was last year. At the very least, because we have a structured school day, that alone I think will make it better than it was in the spring. And again, as we've said repeatedly, the plan and the reopening are a work in progress, and as we find opportunities to improve what we're doing, and I think we will have that when our teachers are back. They will be, I'm sure, willing to share with us their thoughts on how we can do things better, and obviously we will listen to them and try to make the program as strong as possible for them so that they can have an effective interaction with our students. That really concludes my remarks this evening.
Oh, thank you. Any questions for Dr. Seitz amongst the board members, our virtual board members? Okay, thank you. We don't have a HIBs. We don't. So new teachers, I mean, we're going to continue with our committee reports and then voting. If you would like to stay, great. If you don't want to, that's fine too. So I don't know if at this point of the meeting you want to go ahead, but welcome to Holmdel. Good luck. And I hope everything goes as planned. Let's see. Have a great night and have a great rest of your summer.
Thank you. Are we getting that breakfast with the new teachers this year, or has that been canceled by COVID?
To be honest, I haven't gotten that update. We have a plan. I just don't know what the plan is in terms of providing food. It's
going to be
challenging.
Yeah.
We should have them come back next year so they can have some cake with the new members.
Yeah, the cake.
Well,
we have cake at this point, Lee. That's what he's trying
to do. We usually get cake.
No, what I was saying, I think it would have been great if we had a little reception prior to this and they recognized them. We just, with these conditions, we can't really do that.
Yeah, that's terrific.
Committee reports. Mike Sockwell, do you have any committee reports? Eileen does.
Okay, buildings, ground, and safety met on August 20th. We talked, our first item of business was the interior renovations and exterior site renovations, which at Indian Hill and Village is completed with the exception of a few punch list items. At the SATS school, the link on the interior, all the new ductwork has been completed. All plumbing fixtures have been installed within the bathrooms. Ceilings throughout the link have been installed. Interior furnitures are scheduled to arrive this week, actually. The Link exterior, the roof has been completed, and the new sidewalks have also been completed. The new entrance interior, all HVAC units have been installed. The bathroom plumbing fixtures have also been installed. The interior furnishings are also scheduled to arrive this week. The exterior, the new main office entrance stairs and sidewalk ramp have been installed with the security bollards in front of the stairs. It actually looks amazing. The roof has been completed there as well. The science labs, formerly known as the Cyber Center, all the new science labs have received new floors, walls, and ceiling finishes. At the high school, the PE wing interior, all components of the interior space have been completed. The main entrance canopy, which also looks incredible, the installation of the brick at the canopy columns has been completed, as has the concrete walkway and curbing along the entrance. The roofing now is also complete. Regarding the commons and the vestibule, the secure vestibule, the storefronts for the new entrance to the commons and secure vestibule are complete. The installation of the new ceiling floors and the painting of the walls is complete within the entry and the vestibule. The media center at the high school received some underslab plumbing and electrical and have been backfilled and poured with concrete. And the ductwork continues to be installed, as is the electric conduit and wiring. Oh, that's our, okay, so high school sets, renovations. The base course of asphalt paving has been in place for several weeks, and actually the top surface course of the asphalt started today. Thanks to Ken, he already went over the second point we discussed, which is the readiness planning for school reopening. So I don't have to touch upon that. Thank you, Ken. And the third item we discussed was the transportation update for this year. For the 2021 school year, the district is in the process of finalizing the remaining public school transportation routes and the applicable resolutions for bid 2102, which is on tonight's agenda, will be included for approval. Regarding the 2021 non-public transportation routes, the district worked with Monmouth Ocean Educational Services Commission to secure non-public school transportation, and the applicable parents were notified accordingly on July 31st. Regarding the reopening plan, the transportation department has been assured by the bus companies that they will deep clean the buses every evening, and additionally, the buses will be sanitized in between each route. Our next scheduled meeting is September 3rd. That's all I got. Any questions?
I have a comment. Just a lot of very good positive comments from a lot of the football players and soccer players, who I guess the football players are on Roby Field. Well, actually, the soccer players seem in the morning to be, you know, on Roby Field, and I guess the JV team's in the back, and the football players are in the back as well, but a lot of really nice comments about the new turf back there and the new grass, and, you know, so all the investments we made that were finished last year are really, you know, being used in a big way. So it's nice to hear that. And I saw the landscapers and everyone putting in all the plants and everything else right by the high school main entrance, so that's really coming out pretty nice. And I guess the for years, I guess, by the SATS entrance, when you leave, that was just, I know Terrence brought it up a couple times over the years, that used to always be like a little divot. It looks like they're paving down there too, so I didn't even know that was part of the project, actually. So all new curbs and everything else, so hopefully no more ice and all that problems.
Thanks, Pete. Anyone else? Okay. Terrence, do you have an update?
Labor personnel? Yeah, sure. Briefly, in the beginning of July, the new law was signed from Governor Murphy for the insurance that starts, that changes the insurance and the contributions January 1. Both sides were waiting. This is on the collective bargaining agreement with the HTEA. We're both waiting for the new rates so they could be forecasted in the budget. They came late. They just came a week or so ago. So as soon as we received the rates, we started working on getting them assessed and analyzed by the folks that are by our professionals. And then we scheduled a meeting as soon as we could. We had a meeting last night? No, night before. Was it last night? Okay. Just had a meeting. keeping open dialogue with the Denise King and the folks now that we have the data. So, and then we had an hour and a half conference call with some of the folks as well, with the attorney, and we're continuing the discussion in executive session as well earlier this evening. That's regarding the contract. And on the various personnel items, you see those as identified in the agenda that's present before you for consideration and action this evening. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Terrence. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, Brian, you have a report.
I do indeed. This is a report of the Budget and Finance Committee from August 20th as well. So Eileen and Ken already handled a lot of the things we discussed. So I'm just going to scroll down here 1 second. So we also discussed in 2019-2020 extraordinary aid. The state notified the district of their extraordinary aid amount to be received of $659,129. The applicable resolution will be included on the agenda for this evening. The 2019-2020 non-public school transportation cost reimbursement aid. The state notified the district of their non-public school transportation cost reimbursement aid. Amount to be received is $27,056, also on the agenda this evening. The 2020-2021 non-public school aid. This represents state aid provided to the non-public schools located within the township. The district acts as a flow-through entity, whereas the state distributes the aid to the district, and then the district distributes the funding to the applicable non-public schools located in town. The aid is for textbooks, nursing, and Chapter 192 and 193 services. The applicable resolution is also on the agenda this evening. The date and time of the next committee meeting is September 3rd, time to be determined.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none.
I just want to actually add one thing with the transportation services. Lara Carducci did an outstanding job, added a lot more kids that we unfortunately weren't able to get the busing last year. So that was outstanding to go through that. I think we're going to save a lot of grief and headaches with that. So great job, Lara.
Yeah, I wanted to second that, Brian, that she did the team did a great job in coordinating with the other private schools in the area to make it happen. So that was great work. So thank you.
Thank you both for mentioning that. Terrence, do you have a comment?
I was going to mention that Lara is also a graduate of Homedale Schools. And so thank you, Lara.
And, yes. And I would also add that her sister went to college with my wife.
Okay. So how many degrees of separation from Lara Carducci? Anyone else want to participate? Okay.
I could, but it would be boring. I'll participate. We used to have play dates at my house when we were little.
Okay, there you go.
Her father owned a pharmacy, I believe, with my father-in-law.
Oh, look at that. Jeez.
Or something like that.
I just have her cell number because I just needed it sometimes if I was going to be late picking up my kids from prime time. I thought I was special. But not so much. Jamie, are you going to read your report or do you need me to do it?
Nope, I have it in front of me.
You're on, Jamie Collins.
Thank you. The CNI Special Services Committee met on Wednesday, August 19th at 1 p.m. The committee discussed items recommended by the interim superintendent for approval, including but not limited to code of conduct, school parental involvement policies, and student handbook. Regarding the code of conduct, Dr. Charney indicated that he was pleased with the document overall, but expressed the importance of the educational component of administering consequences under the code of conduct. He indicated that Aspire, which was one of the supplemental material and textbook items for approval this month, does just that. The administration provided a standardized testing schedule, which included, among other testing dates, MAP administration dates for the fall, winter, and spring. And under old business, board members or committee members reiterated their concerns regarding the contents of the academic integrity policy, consequences for instances of cheating, and admission to the National Honor Society for students who have been disciplined for cheating. The committee also reiterated its desire to implement a policy that requires that a student must sit for an AP exam in order to obtain a weighted grade in an AP class. The committee indicated that they would like to see the new policy implemented for the upcoming school year because it had been discussed for quite some time at the committee level and all board members unanimously agreed. The committee also discussed the differences between pre-COVID learning and post-COVID learning and what virtual slash remote learning might look like in the upcoming school year. And finally, Ms. Skill indicated that all students with IEPs are permitted to attend school 5 days per week. And I'm not quite sure when the next meeting date is.
Okay, thanks, Jamie. Any questions for Jamie?
Just one quick thing I want to mention.
Sorry. Okay, Mike.
Oh, yeah, I just want to mention we earlier in the meeting we were introducing new people to the district. I think it would be a remiss if we didn't also mention that Jeff Charney has joined us as our new interim assistant superintendent, and he is really, from all indications, jumped in full feet first. So we want to thank Jeff for coming on board and helping us out.
Jeff is, my experience so far is that Jeff is absolutely top notch. So happy to have him here.
Yes. I have a question. Comment?
Yes, go ahead.
So first off, I guess since in the last month we got the SAT date set up for the seniors, which I think is great news for those people that have seniors that especially don't have SAT scores. So, you know, thank you, Dr. Seitz, for doing that. A question came up this past week about ACTs, and I really didn't know when I was hoping maybe the CNI can bring up in the next meeting is, you know, how many on average kids take the ACT in Homedale and what might be that average score? Like I've, in the 6 years I've been on the board, I don't think we, you know, outside of, I think Eileen a couple of times bringing up ACT subject tests, we really don't talk about it much. So, you know, even if the guidance department wanted to provide some information on it, on how rampant is around the country, in New Jersey, Monmouth County. Is that something we should be looking at more in-depthly? I really can't, you know, I don't have much knowledge on it, so it would be helpful to, you know, be educated a little bit.
You mean comparison scores, like how we fared versus other schools, or just our scores in general? What
in general, like I know SAT scores this past week, I think the Patch put out an article of the SAT scores in the state, and I believe Homedale was like number 28 if you pull out all the Votex and those type of schools. So really great results, like, you know, so excellent there. But I really don't know anything about ACTs of how many in this district for the last 3-4 years have taken the test, what the average scores might be, you know, anything.
We can certainly get there for you. I know the ACTs are not that widespread in New Jersey, but it's data that we have, and we'll certainly get a report to the full board on the ACTs.
Be good just situational awareness, just to know, like, you know, to me, it's always to me good to know what's the average SAT score in a district, you know, and the number of kids that basically go to college. To me, I could tell a lot about a school when you know those two factors. So thanks.
Thanks, Pete. Anyone else? Okay. Seeing no more, there's no more committee reports. At this point in the meeting, we take questions or comments from the public on action items only. Are you controlling this, Steve, or am I?
Yes.
Okay. I don't see anyone raising their hand, though. All right. Okay, so at this point in the meeting, we're going to go to our action items. Can I please have a motion from action items 1 through 18 and 21 through 57?
Move.
Second.
Discussion. On item number 6, which is the approval of the student codes of conduct, I would just again reiterate, as Jamie already said in her notes, that the code of conduct reflect the board's conversations and policies on academic integrity. I know this board worked very hard in conveying that, and I would just like that to make sure the code of conduct reflects those conversations and policy changes. Because I don't know if everyone could hear Jamie before, quite honestly, so I figured I'd reiterate that point since it's on the agenda. Anything else, board members? Virtual board members? Okay, seeing none, cover roll call, please.
Ms. Flynn?
Yes.
Mr. Sarko?
Yes.
Mr. Reddy?
Yes.
Mrs. Biamonte?
Yes.
Mrs. Collins?
Yes.
Mr. Wall?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Hammer?
Yes.
Mrs. Urbanski?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Item number 19. Mr. Reddy, could you please read that, the acceptance of retirement for Ms.
Sure.
Colleen Wagner?
Number 19, acceptance of retirement special education monitor village school. Whereas Ms. Colleen Wagner has served the Homedale Township Public Schools with distinction since September 1st, 2012. And whereas Ms. Colleen Wagner has faithfully executed her duties with skill and competency. And whereas Ms. Colleen Wagner has earned respect of her colleagues and community residents. And whereas Ms. Colleen Wagner has submitted a letter announcing her retirement from the Homedale Township School District effective September 1st, 2020. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Homedale Township Board of Education accept Ms. Wagner's retirement with deep gratitude for Ms. Wagner's dedication to loyalty and outstanding services performed, and further extends to Ms. Wagner its best wishes for a happy and healthy retirement.
Thank you. Can I have a motion?
Move.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, cover roll call, please.
Ms. Flynn?
Yes. Best wishes on your retirement.
Mr. Sarko?
Yes.
Mr. Reddy?
Yes.
Mrs. Biamonte?
Yes.
Mrs. Collins?
Yes.
Mr. Wall?
Yes, all the best to you.
Mr. Foster?
Yes, good luck.
Mr. Hammer?
Yes, congratulations.
Mrs. Urbanski?
Yes, best wishes on your retirement.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
Thank you. Turn the page already. Item number 20. Mr. Hammer, can you please read this resolution?
Sure. I want to make sure I got the right one. This is for Lauren Thompson?
No, for Adam Joseph.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Joseph.
Page 7.
Make sure, because I had 19. It must have been an old one. Sorry. Acceptance of retirement. Whereas Mr. Adam Joseph has served the Homedale Township Public Schools with distinction since August 1st, 1988, and whereas Mr. Adam Joseph has faithfully executed his duties with skill and competency, and whereas Mr. Adam Joseph has earned the respect of his colleagues and community residents, and whereas Mr. Adam Joseph has submitted a letter announcing his retirement from the Homedale Township School District effective October 1st, 2020, now therefore be it resolved that the Homedale Township Board of Education accepts Mr. Joseph's retirement with deep gratitude for Mr. Joseph's dedication, loyalty, and outstanding services performed, and further extends to Mr. Joseph its best wishes for a happy and healthy retirement.
Thank you. Can I have a motion?
Move.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, can I have a roll call, please?
So,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go, Joe.
My son did have Mr. Joseph, and he's one of those teachers that is a tough teacher, and I think he's taught like, you know, half of Homedale over those 31 years here. He was a fantastic teacher, and my son has very fond memories of him, of some of the exciting things that they did in class in terms of when people lose their teeth or something like that. But anyway, he was a great math teacher, and I think he will be sorely missed in this district.
Pete, thanks, Joe.
Yeah, and I, my two boys happily have had him. And if I ask my two kids who's their most influential and memorable teacher and most effective teacher, without hesitation, Adam Joseph's names come up. And it's interesting, my wife's family has lived in Homedale, you know, for 40, 50 years, whatever it is. And he goes back to, you know, when Bill was way back when he was here. And, you know, so my family is very happy to see him retire, sad to see him go. Really good teacher, and, you know, they've known him for the last 30 years. So congrats.
Thank you. Can I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Flynn?
Yes.
Mr. Sarko?
Yes.
Mr. Reddy?
Yes, congratulations.
Mrs. Biamonte?
Yes.
Mrs. Collins?
Yes.
Mr. Wall?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Hammer?
Yes, congratulations.
Mrs. Urbanski?
Yes.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
Thank you. Item number 58, approval of appointment village elementary school secretary. Resolved that Christine DeMarca, okay, be appointed to the position of village elementary school secretary effective September 1st, 2020 at step 7 of the secretarial salary guide. Have a motion.
Move.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, have a roll call, please.
Ms. Flynn?
Yes.
Mr. Sokol?
Yes.
Mr. Reddy?
Yes.
Mrs. Briamonti?
Yes.
Mrs. Collins?
Yes.
Mr. Wall?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Hammer?
Yes.
Mrs. Urbanski?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Board members, any old business? Mike, do you have any? You just have your microphone on. Okay. Any new business?
I just want to say something quick if I could.
Yes, go ahead, Brian.
There's a nice article in the New York Times today, actually, about town. I don't know if anybody saw that. Obviously, in mentioning the town, and we're here a little over 8 years, but what brought us here is the schools. So it brought that up, and obviously the you know, the living and just things like that. But I just want to say to you guys, the principals, thank you very much, you know, for coming. My kids, speaking as a parent now, my kids are very excited to be going back to school. We're happy. We discussed earlier about all the, you know, the teachers coming back. So thank you guys for having everybody motivated, and we're looking forward to it. That little bit of normalcy and socialization, which I think is incredibly important. But obviously you guys must be on board with that, or everybody wouldn't be coming back like this. So thank you guys.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah, I did see that, and I saw that our school district was mentioned as, you know, one of the reasons why people come here, which is very nice to see.
This was the New York Times?
It was. Oh, God. Mike Sokol.
I missed it. I read the New York Times every day.
I thought you read that every day.
I did want to offer just a little personal note of pride. My niece, Michaela Sokol, a graduate of the University of Maryland, will begin in a few weeks her tenure as a high school math teacher. And we're all very proud of her continuing the legacy of my mother, her grandmother, who was also a teacher in the school district in the Boston area. So just wanted to just take a little point of pride and wish Michaela the best as a new math teacher in Ashburn, Virginia.
That's nice. They're going back to school?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, absolutely.
Are they going back to school?
You know, I think they're remote.
Oh.
I think they're remote.
Yes. Virginia. Okay. Anything else? All right. And any questions or comments from the public? I see Denise King raised her hand. Do I have to do this, or are you doing it, Steve? Okay.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
We can hear you, Denise.
Okay, great. Good evening. I just wanted to say thank you, first of all, for giving me the opportunity to speak. I wanted to comment on some of the things that I had wanted to last time we met, but for some reason, as you know, technology doesn't always work the way we want it to. So I'm Denise King, president of Homedale Township Education Association. In the August 12th board meeting, there were some comments made about our negotiations, and several of them were slightly misleading. I wanted to just clarify some of those issues. One is, I would hope that if we had the kind of settlements that could give us a $10,000 raise, you know, obviously we'd all sign on the dotted line and be happy for it. Throughout the negotiations, we've been going back and forth, and today we had good discussions, I believe. However, there are some things that we need to clarify. One being that the average salary of a teacher in Homedale is not $100,000, and those who have that kind of salary also have a master's plus 30, which is almost or two master's degrees or a PhD. They are not a BA staff member. 22% of our staff members currently hold a master's or higher, which makes us one of the better school districts because of the fact that our teachers go back and become highly educated. One of the things that I think is misconstrued or misunderstood is salary guides. Teacher salary guides are very different, and support staff are very different than in different outside careers. If you get a 2% raise, for example, in say the business world, a lot of times it's directly on your salary, where ours is spread around to everybody. So to make it very simple is if you look at the current salary guide from 2018-19, it would take 2.07 just to move your current employees through that guide, and the top of the guide would see no raise at all. So you're basically starting flat before you even move to that point. The other piece that I wanted to discuss is there is new legislation, as it's been referred to in the news with this Chapter 44. It only gives relief to people who take a new healthcare plan. So currently, our healthcare standard is Direct 10. We pay anywhere from $10,000 to $12,000 if you are in the higher end of the salary guide towards your healthcare. That being said, the only way you would see relief of that is if you move into this new healthcare plan. The healthcare plan, to make it in easy terms, is that if I move into that new healthcare plan, it's not the same as what I currently enjoy. It would be a lesser plan. One of the things someone said to me was, is if you went from a four-bedroom home down to a one-bedroom home and it wouldn't fit the needs of your individual family. So that's an individual choice based on what is better for you and your family. However, the way the bill is written, all new employees must go into that new plan. The biggest issue with it is you would have to look at the out-of-network part of this. I just want to clarify that you have a highly talented and educated staff in Homedale. As we approach a statewide teacher shortage, we would like to see that commitment continue with the excellence as well as the innovation in Homedale, and that we want to offer competitive salary packages and healthcare packages to new members coming in so that we can continue with the great education that we are providing for the students and the community. Thank you very much for letting me have an opportunity to speak. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Denise.
Hi, Board President.
Yes, Terrence, you have something to say.
Thanks. Just have a couple quick things. I have tremendous respect for Denise King, and she knows it. She's an ardent advocate for her members, and it's a credit to her association and the NJEA. And we agree on many things and disagree on some. I do want to briefly address the $10,000 raise, and I'm going to speak a little more slowly than I did at the last meeting, so the public understands the impact of the legislation that was signed by Governor Murphy. This legislation that was signed by Governor Murphy, Senator Sweeney is quoted as saying, "Now more than ever, it is important that we find ways to produce savings for taxpayers and educators." And they certainly did do that for educators. We've done the analysis. The savings to taxpayers is virtually zero starting in January 2021. That's not to say that it's the education community and the municipal community as well found that Chapter 78, which was there were statutory increases, were legislated, and they found them extremely unfair, and they still do today. That law sunsetted, and this also removes any of the vestiges of Chapter 78. And so there are different feelings on that front. But from my financial standpoint, utilizing the $100,000 example, and I did not claim that the average salary of a Homedale teacher is $100,000, I can say that the data shows that our higher paid teachers are between 9 and 13% above the average in Monmouth County. Which is a testament to NJEA and HTEA and the negotiation over the years.
and the generosity of the taxpayers and, you know, the boards of education that conferred those above average compensation packages. But specific to the $10,000, the numbers break down as follows. The medical premium that a teacher would contribute, or I'm using the teacher or educator, but there are other folks that are in the unit, pays 35% under Tier 4, under the Chapter 78, is formerly known as Chapter 78. So what does that mean? Well, the insurance premium, the most recent numbers when I was sharing that data was $36,144 plus or minus. So she correctly indicated that a 35% contribution is about $12,650, again, plus or minus, 35%. So the legislation reduced the premiums by about 16% or so, and Direct 10 is about 4%, starting January 2021. All members are moved into that plan automatically, unless you take affirmative steps to opt out. So there's a disagreement to what extent folks are going to stay or not stay. Because unless you take affirmative steps to opt out of a plan that cuts your contribution by approximately 50% and increases your net take-home pay by that same amount, if you don't want that, you can take affirmative steps to opt out of it. But if you don't take any steps, in this example, to get back to the $10,000, your contribution is changed legislatively, in this example, from 35% of the premium, which is $36,000 or about $12,000 or so, down to a fixed 6.6% of your salary. So that $100,000 a year employee, unless they take affirmative steps to opt out, are going to have their contribution reduced to $6,600. So in that particular example, they're going to increase their take-home pay without any negotiations, without any contributions, without any changes to the guide, by almost $6,000. That windfall is courtesy of Governor Murphy, and to the credit of the NJEA, frankly took 40 senators and 80 assembly people and turned them into fidget spinners. All of them voted in approval of it. That's a compliment to the folks at the NJEA, that they turned Trenton into fidget spinners. That's great work. Here in Homedale, when we make these calculations, there is no net change in the, when you reduce the premium and then you offset it with the contributions. So if you add a 2 or 2.5%, depending on where it falls in on the guide, and that, and it was very helpful speaking to Ms. King today and Michael Fletcher and the folks at Uniserve, very informative, and we're continuing those discussions and looking to close the conversation. But that also depends on where they place the funding, the bucket of funds on the guide. So in the example where it's 2 or 2.5%, that'll bring you to the $10,000 figure, and actually in certain cases it'll bring you over. But each grouping and each where you fall in the guide will give a different example. But that number is very real, and that's courtesy of Governor Murphy. The challenge is when they talked about saving the taxpayers' money, I think it was $600 million, and then the teachers, $400 million. I'm here to tell you that was a farce. That was not true, and at least in one district in the state of New Jersey, it's a flat-out lie, and you can send the audio to them. But for the teachers who chafed under Chapter 78, it's considered fairness and returning it back to a place where they were familiar with from years ago, and I'm not disputing their feeling about that. So I just wanted to share that with you because we need to calculate both the cost of the salary and what funds the guide and to what extent you exceed the guide, and also the benefit structure, because the legislation flatlines certain components that were typically being negotiated vis-a-vis the benefit style. if it's a HMO type product or a PPO type product and that kind of thing. But I'm optimistic and I fully support, well, I don't have a choice because Denise King can always say all that she feels, but I fully support her thoughts and her differences of opinion. And I think we're going to affect a positive result for all of the staff that's involved in this unit. And subsequently, we have another unit that has a contract that needs to be addressed as well. And hopefully it'll be to the mutual benefit of all parties. So thank you for allowing me to share a few thoughts and clarifications on that. And thank you, Denise.
Okay, thank you, Terrence. Anyone else?
Vicki, it's Denise. Is there any way I can just clarify something there?
Sure. What would you like? Go ahead, Denise.
I just want to clarify that the piece about the open enrollment, the opting out, is that there will be an open enrollment period for healthcare, and I believe it begins in October for starting this new plan in January. So that being said, everybody has to fill out a form for open enrollment again, like we just did in June. And so that's where people will choose one way or the other to take a new plan. And as I've said to Terrence very clearly, is that I know my membership very well. I don't see that happening. And the Chapter 78, which now becomes the new Chapter 44, that was legislated, and that 10,000 contribution or 12,000 contribution that we currently are paying was not negotiated at all. It was implemented just like this is. So the reason this new law came into effect is members were losing their homes because of the impact of that Chapter 78, or as they say in legislature, the unintended consequences of Chapter 78. So I just wanted to clarify that piece of why this new legislation came into effect. When Chapter 78 came in, it impacted all healthcare, 10, 15, whatever other plans are on the table. This new legislation only gives you relief in that new educators plan. It does not give you any relief in 10 or 15. So if a member opts to stay in 10 or 15, they will still maintain the same premium contribution if it's 35% or 32%, unless that is negotiated with the Board of Education. So I just wanted to clarify that because it's to make it more clear to the public. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have a comment from a member of the public. Do you see the hand? We ping.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, please give us your name, your full name, Wei Ping, and your address.
Sure. Wei Ping Wang, 19 Mulberry Lane, Homedale, New Jersey. I just have a question. We received a parent survey for choice of the hybrid or full-time remote last week. I just want to make sure that's not the final decision, right? That's just a survey. So if that's just a survey, I just want to know when are we going to make the decision and when will be the deadline and how do we receive such information? Thank you.
Thank you for your question.
Thank you. The answer is that it is the final choice, and it's really no problem if you haven't submitted the form back to us. Simply take a look at the two options, decide which one or ones you want for your child or children, and then because of the time, I would ask that you email or phone that information to your children's building principal so they can get them into the roster as soon as possible.
Okay. Maybe we should, do you have a lot of responses, do you think, already? Do you have any concern that there's missing responses?
Oh, no, we have a close to 100% returned. Returns were immense. I think we had 1,500 on the first day.
Okay.
So I don't think it's a misunderstanding that's widespread, but it's a good question. And again, if someone hasn't, for whatever reason, submitted their choice, just email the building principal or call the building principal and let them know what your choices are. We still have time to deal with that.
Okay. Yes, I would encourage anyone, you know, who have questions that are really specific to their situation to first start with their building principals, because they could probably give you an answer a lot quicker than, I mean, we love hearing from the public and hearing the feedback as board members, but in all honesty, when it comes down to these issues, I forward it along to the superintendent, who I think forwards it along to the appropriate individuals within the district, so. And no one else, okay.
Vicki, can I just had a quick question. Can you hear me?
Yes, James.
For students who are opting to stay home and do virtual learning, is there any issue for them participating in sports?
No.
Okay.
Right. There was an article on that too in the paper. And the governor said something about it too. All right. At this point, we... Yes, go ahead. Yeah, I see there's a hand raised now.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Laura.
Hi, I have a question about students who will be remote learning. I have a daughter who's in college right now, and some of the students there are saying that they're having a difficult time understanding the professor because the professor is speaking through a mask and then, of course, through a camera, and it's not clear. For students who are remote learning at our high school, is there going to be ongoing feedback to make sure that the remote learners are able to understand everything that's being said in the classroom?
Yes, please.
Absolutely. And again, if we encounter that as a problem, there are some simple solutions, one of them being a large screen, plexiglass screen, to separate the teacher from the students while the teacher is presenting a lesson or a lecture. So we certainly will monitor that, and we do have some ways that we can address it. And we also purchased new cameras for our computers of our teachers so that we have a better picture than we had last spring.
Okay, so if there are problems, we should notify who? The principal, the teacher?
The best thing would be to notify the principal or the school through the main office, and then we'll be able to get on it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Laura. At this point, I need to have a motion to go into executive session to discuss items that are exempt from discussion in public for personnel and public contract reasons and legal advice, attorney. And for negotiation purposes.
Move.
Second.
Have a show of hands and virtual say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right, we're going into executive session. We will not be returning to public because we have no further action to take tonight. Good night, everyone.